Woman Shir, Shar HaBitachon, Sunday, Shir number 16, Yom Aleph, Parshas Korach, June 14, Chav Zion Sivan, Shir number 16, Shar HaBitachon. Okay, we're in Shar HaBitachon, Chavis HaLavas, we're in Perek Gimel. Five things one has to internalize and believe and live according to in order to develop Midas HaBitachon. It could take many years, it could take many decades, but this is the work that has to be done. He spells it out for us. It's a workshop book. So the first of the five, or at the end of the first of the five, and that's to really believe the seven things in Perek Beis, which logically would lead one to rely on Hashem in the way that's described in Perek Aleph, meaning that I am serene and I am, you know, what was that other word I said? Is a better word? What?
No,
equanimity. Equanimity. That I have my equanimity. When I look at the future, I have equanimity. So my friend, I told you, who's undergoing chemo now after an operation, he suggested that word instead of serene. And I think it's like a better word, because it means whatever Hashem throws at, I'm relying on Him. The way the Chavodah describes in Perek Aleph is that I outsourced it. So I am, you know, I'm, maybe serene is a better word. Because the point of the Chavodah in Perek Aleph is that it's not, you know, someone here, sorry, I forgot who, whom. You know, at the end of email, people have like little memories that they like to say. So this person used to email me, and then the member, don't worry, everything's under control. It's just not your control, that's all. So that's really serenity. I think it's more serenity. I'm thinking that that's a better word. Anyway, because Hashem's been taking care of things, and you outsourced it. It's not in your hands anymore. So the word that, and I said, he says number seven here is number five in Perek Beis, and he says it differently here, and Baruch Hashem, I cracked that puzzle why he says it so differently, because in Perek Beis he's not talking about Hashem. He's just talking about the idea that the person has a track record and he's been there for you in the past and he's on top of things in that sense. Now when he's talking about Hashem in Perek Gimel, he talks about really, and this is a major, major thing, and this is the Chavis HaLavas' Shita, and it's the Shita of most Rishonim, despite what people might want to put forth, but this is most Rishonim hold like this, and that is that everything that happens to us is Nigzer Me'Eis Hashem. I explained that it might not be directly on us, it might be on the city, on the state, on the neighborhood, on a chabura of people, but it wouldn't happen to the individual unless it's deserved. It's just that sometimes when it's an eis tzara, so you need more schusim to escape from the eis tzara. But certainly everything's with a cheshbon, and everything is ultimately nigzar on the individual. I would say, v'al ha-medinos bo ye-yomer. So I said, yeah, because it could be a gzeira on a medina, it could be a gzeira on the city of Sodom, you know, but again, kel amuna ve'enogel tzadik v'yasher hu. So it always boils down to this person that Hashem is sort of like at least okay with what's going on. And sometimes, of course, most of the time, I don't know, I'm not Hashem's accountant. It's a gzeira directly on the person. And that, you can't have bitachon if you don't believe that. And Hashem is, and you know, you can't be done. If you don't believe that everything in your life is nigzar me'eis Hashem, no matter what happens to you, good or bad, ra o tov, whether someone does it to you or you slipped and fell, doesn't matter. Nothing happens to you without a gzeira of Hashem that it should happen to you. And that's what he's up to, and you can't make it come earlier and you can't make it come later. It's going to happen when it's going to happen. And that's what he says. It's a fascinating biur. We're up to where he says, quotes the pasuk in Koheleth, "Lakol zman veis l'chol chayfetz tachas hashemoyim, eis l'ledes, veis l'mus, eis l'this, veis l'that." So when you read Koheles, I think the simple pshat is, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, and, you know, life is very complex and has all sorts of things happening to it. And you can't mix in, you know, there's a time to be happy at a chasana and there's a time to be sad at a noble's house. And that's just the way life is. But Chayyim Chavavos understands the pasuk as an expression of Ashgacha Pratis. There's a time for this and a time for that, and it's all Nigzar Min HaShemayim, and it's happening at the exact moment and time that it's supposed to happen. You can't make it happen earlier, you can't make it happen later. Of course, you could have Schusim. Schusim could delay a Peronus. Hashem is Erech HaPayim. Schusim could make something good happen earlier. That's not called, that's the power of Ma'asim Tovim. That's the power of Utfilo, Tshuvot, Stokum, Avirinus, or Hagzeira. That's not called changing, you know, but in everyday life, when people don't use Ruchnius Dikka attempts to change things, quote unquote, but they, you can't fight City Hall. What's gonna happen is gonna happen. And there's nothing you can do to change it. He is now going to turn into Hishtadlus, because he's going to say, well, if what I just said is true, so the natural extension of that is that we're all wasting our time, and why don't we just stay home and relax, you know, put on a nice record, get out the exercise machine, or a box of chocolates, whichever you prefer. Like, why do anything? So he says, it's a very, very good question. And if you're not bothered by the question, it means you don't really understand what I just said, he says. And if you really understand what I just said, then you will then have that question. So why am I doing anything? But he says, so that's the 28 things that it says in Koheles, ace this, ace that. For whom Asha Omar, ace lo ledes, the ace lo mus. I'm sorry, I misspoke, which is a nice way of saying I made a mistake. His discussion of Hishtadlus is in number 5 of the 5 things of this perek. Now, we're in thing number 1, which is to believe that the 7 things of the second perek are true about Hashem, and this is true. Now, he picks up this thread in the 5th thing, which is to understand the balance of bitachon and hishtadlus. That's number 5. We're up to now number 2. So we'll learn it when we get to number 5. Ad amro eis mulchama ve'eis shalom, v'omer ki esu pega yigras kulam, v'omer ki gavol me'al gavol ha'shomer, gvohim aleihem, Hashem is taking care. V'halichos dini abori yisali yoysen na'alomos v'amukos ve'elyonos, me'hagi al yediyas chalkeyan. Don't even try. Don't try to figure out why Hashem is doing something. Except, I guess, in terms of what Chazal tells us, Yifash Resh B'Ma'asov, a person can always think what message Hashem is trying to tell me. Again, he's not talking in the spiritual realm. Halavai people would think about the spiritual realm when this happens, when things happen. He's talking in the physical realm, right? And you don't know how things are coming about. You can't tell from the smallest seed, he says, hundreds and hundreds of kernels of grain could grow, right? When they called me up from the shul, when I came for my tryout Shabbos, it was because really Binyamin Kwawasa met 3 people who have no shaykhis to each other. And in his normal life, he doesn't meet these people. He happened to meet each one of these 3 people at an event. Maybe a chasana, I don't know, who remembers, who cares, a chasana, you know, whatever. And he talked to me, and each one said that they lied. They said I would be a good fit for the shul. So they lied, that's another issue. But 3 different people, so that really piqued his interest. You know? Not, I wish it piqued his interest, P-E-A-K-E-D, but unfortunately it didn't. It piqued P-I-Q-U-E-D. It's an entirely different word. It's the opposite. It almost means the opposite. Peaked means, and then he forgot about it and went home. Peaked means, yeah. So but that's amazing. That's how Hashem does things. And in Shidduchim it's that way, and in jobs it's that way. And that's what, he made this point, and we learned it last week, from the small seed grows many, many kernels. And we don't We have to realize that, and Hashem has his way of doing things. Kosh can call on them. We shouldn't try to read Hashem's mind. We don't know, you know, people, it is a Tchilas HaGeula, it's not Tchilas HaGeula. You know, we have to do what we have to do. And, if you're inspired to do good things, that's always good. In the realm of Ruchnius, you can do things, but don't try to do things in the realm of Gashmius, except for Hishtadlus, which we'll learn about. Don't be fooled by apparent cause and effect. That's the problem with the world, and that's what we see, and realize that everything is Nigzar min Shemayim. Okay, that's number one. Let's say number one is that the seven things in Perek Beis is true about Hashem, and he went through them. Number two is very interesting. Number one and number five should be enough. Because number one is the seven things are true, so you could have bitachon. And number five is this balance between bitachon and ishtadlus. Two, three, and four are almost like negative, like don't think the wrong way. We'll see. Number two is, I think it's fascinating that he makes it such a major, like one of the five things. Number two is Hashem knows what you're thinking. So you say, well, okay, that's true, but what does it have to do with bitachon? And like, why is that like a major, like, you know, the five things that you have to develop in order to have bitachon. And number two is you have to really internalize the idea that Hashem knows what you're thinking. And the answer is simple, I think, that it's very easy to fool yourself. Some people do too much, I said yesterday, and they call it hishtadlus, and then you do too little because you're lazy, and you call it bitachon. So, and really, this happened. This is life. This is the real life. It's very hard. You know, we're learning here principles and ideas. Then you go out there, and you got to translate it into life. It's always a struggle. You know, you never know, and you grow. You grow, and it's in a lifetime of avoda. So, if you don't really believe that Hashem knows what you're thinking, what your motivations really are, what you're really, you know, where you're really holding, then he doesn't say really, he doesn't say the second half of the sentence. I would say, it's very hard to progress. You're gonna be stuck at a certain point. Because you'll fool yourself. And your motivation will be, you know, you'll have a certain motivation. And, you know, and your actions will nobody can read your mind, but Hashem can read your mind. Not only your mind, but your kishkes. Not only your kishkes, but your subconscious motivation too. That maybe you have to spend half a year in therapy to figure it out. But Hashem knows it right away. Hashem knows that this is why you act a certain way, this is why you do a certain thing, this is why this upsets you, and Hashem knows. So sometimes people could be anusim, right? Say, I can't help myself. But Hashem knows if you can help yourself or not. Right? How deeply embedded, sometimes people can't help themselves. That person makes me angry. You know, so only Hashem knows if the person indeed pushes the button, and then you have to work on yourself about anger, or maybe you are an honest. Sometimes you can't help yourself. So Hashem knows who you are. This is like everything. He knows your inside, your outsides. What you're thinking about, what ticks you off, what you're angry about, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, what makes you tick. This is the key sentence. If your bitachon is a true one, sincere, deeply felt, I'm relying on Hashem. Kasher Omar Akosov Hashem Yodea Machshul Sodom Kem Ahovel for Omar Lo Tochen Libos Hu Yovin. For Omar Kedod Yedato Levadecha is Levav Kol Bnei Ha'odam. Malachim don't even know what you're thinking, and Hashem is much deeper than thought. Hashem, as I said, motivation, attitudes. midos. Mocheis borozel avoteach. He says it explicitly. Once you clarify this in your mind, you won't claim to have bitachon unless you really do. You don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to lie. And roilo litom shuboteach belokim yisala bediburo. Right, and really you're lazy, and you really don't have bitachon, or you're really scared. Remember, bitachon means I'm not scared, I'm not worried. So you can talk the talk, and meanwhile it's in your lathe, you're nervous. You know, we're not going to condemn you, we can't say it's an avera, but it's not bitachon. Bitachon is as defined in Perek Aleph, and it's very, very hard to reach that madrega, where I'm not even worried. I would like to know what's going to happen, maybe. We're talking about worrying, stressed. So you won't say it. This is very odd, right? Because we daven, and we say, right? And we say, right? And then, is that true or not?
You shouldn't say it.
You should work on making your heart stim with your mouth. That's all. That's all. You can't say don't say it. But you have what to work on. So that's what he's telling you, to work on it. You want to know what to think about at this point? Not you. Think about I'm working on this. I'm trying to grow in this. I'm trying to do better and better every day. I'm trying to have more bitachon. So I'm a work in progress, Hashem. So then I think he'll accept that. That's the trick, is to be a work in progress. Very few people are. It's a very, maybe I shouldn't say that, how do I know? But that's the trick, because you don't want to be a shalim. You know what happens to you when you're a shalim? I don't want to say what, but oh, you bought a plot already. You have nothing to live for. Well, I guess you could always teach others. So you could be a shalim and then teach others. I like this guy, you hold back. It's okay. Moshe Rabbeinu only reached to 49 Sharim in his life. So you always have what to work on. We had this in Shah Cheshbon HaNefesh. Halachos Halavos described how to climb the ladder of Ruchnius. Right? If you remember, he said, do something till it becomes second nature and you don't have Nisayon anymore. It's not even Bechir anymore. You do it automatically. Then you go on to the next level, right? And then you work on that till that becomes second nature and it comes easy to you and you don't have to work on it anymore. Then you move up another step. And there's always enough steps to work on. But that's what the mile of this is. You won't fool yourself. He said it very explicitly. This is something the Pasuk complains about. Hashem, so to speak, complained about the Dor HaMidbar. When the Nevi'im talked about it, this is a Pasuk in Yeshaya. In the Pasuk it says, till the end of the Pasuk is, Ubelashonim Yechazvu Lo. There's a description of that even at Har Sinai, they were not shalem with Hashem. You know, it's hard to imagine. But again, Hashem knows. Talk about flaws. Normal flaws. Human flaws. No one has tainus to you. The tainus is if you don't work on it. So how do you discover those flaws is a problem. People used to be able, that's why you have the trick of introspection. That's why I say, you know, nowadays everybody should have a therapist. A good therapist, a frum therapist. Yeah. If for no other reason than for mussar reasons, to know what your motivations are. You find out why you do certain things. Everybody has that. Virtually everybody. I mean, how many people live Shar Yichud HaMaisa, where the only reason they do something is because it's the Ratzon Hashem? There's always stuff there, right? It could be, right? You want your parents to be proud of you. That's a very major motivation in people's lives. Sometimes you want to spite your parents. Every other generation does the opposite, right? If you want to have nachas, wait for grandkids, because they'll spite their parents. They're going to do like you want. Because your kids are going to go against you. But really, I say that it used to, I don't know what people used to do. It's hard to imagine. The Muslim movement raised such ire in the Litvisha yeshiva world because, like, what about till now? What did everybody do? Like, who needs Muslim? But the problem, the point is that Rishal Salanta felt, and he, it turned out he was right, that learning Gemara just doesn't do it anymore. It just doesn't. Learning doesn't do it anymore. Torah doesn't do it anymore. It should, and ideally it should, and it's supposed to, yeah? It doesn't. So, Musar, now Musar doesn't do it anymore. That's my chiddush. Musar doesn't do it anymore. You have to explore yourself, maybe with a therapist, maybe with a good friend, maybe with introspection, if you can do it. Musar doesn't do it anymore. My experience with people, I won't talk about myself, it's embarrassing, but my experience with people, like you sit down with a Mesil Sesharim, and Chavis HaVadis even, it just doesn't do it. Like, you have to really, because people, you have to like get down to the nitty gritty of what makes me tick. What do I really, what am I motivated by? So I guess people used to be able to reach it in other ways, or maybe they just made a shortcut. What do they call it on the computer? Made a shortcut. Right, the tikkun amidos, and maybe they didn't worry so much about motivation. They certainly didn't worry about. Okay, I don't want to get into trouble. Nowadays, you have to validate everybody's emotions. That's a big thing. You have to validate them. Then you can start working on it. But the first thing is to validate them. If you start off. This is what they tell me. That's what I do wrong all the time. The first thing is you have to validate how they feel. Then you could start helping them work on it. But if you don't validate it, then they'll always resist it. All these things are now very modern. The Musa movement, which was a revolution, didn't do this. The Musa movement said, learn Musa. There were different types of Musa, more analytical Musa, more Hispilus Musa. There were all different kinds of Musa. Then the world of Musa shifted really into Hashkafa, like Mr. Melio, Sifsei Chaim, Tanya, like different door, but you know, very conceptual thinking. It's not Musa. It's not Musa. It's very hard. What? It's not Musa.
It's a philosophy.
It's philosophy. It's Hashkafa, right? So it's very hard. Most people, when they learn that, do not then say, therefore I will act a certain way. It's, you know, even though I know Rabbi Yael Kahn, who I learned Tanya from, so whenever he would say over something from the Rebbe, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, so he would always, he said over, and apparently at the end of every Sicha, what's it called? At the end of every Sicha, he would always say, like, okay, like, what does this mean to us? In Avodas Hashem, what does that translate as being? What should I do? At the end of every like, philosophical, deep thought, he would then, like the last 10 minutes, always say, okay, what does that mean to us in Avodas Hashem? What does that mean to us? So that's a very good thing to do. That's very hard to do. Anyway, this is a fascinating chavis. Number two of being gonna be talking is to know that Hashem knows what's going on in your mind. Now, could be, people don't know what's going on. Some people are clueless that there's something going on in their minds. That their motive, that's what I mean by therapy. You have to know that we have different motivations. We want people to like us. We want our parents to be proud of us. We want to have nachas from our children, so we do certain things because of a mistaken, perhaps, mistaken idea of what nachas means. These are all things that are bubbling inside of us. And that much we still have from Rabbi Salanta and from Freud, which we'll have to, but the idea that we're a cauldron of things going on inside of us, that we're, and they live at the same time. It's like it's uncanny. It's almost like the Jewish world got Rabbi Salanta, who opened up people's minds and hearts and said, listen, you have to think, That's what he talked about. Like, you have to think about what you're doing and why you're doing it, and you really fear Hashem, and what's your motivation, and, you know. So good, you know, you come in Chavis Halol, the Shari Yichud HaMaisa, which was written 1,000 years ago. But, you know, the Baal Shem Tov didn't say anything new more than the Chavis Halvavus. Baal Shem Tov said there's no lathe. Everybody's busy with ritual. Everybody's busy with learning Gemara and Halacha, which is important, but there's no lathe anymore. And that's what Chavis Halvavus said, you know, 700 years before that. Chavis Halvavus said 800 years before that. He could have just taken the Hakdama to the Chavis Halvavus and rewritten it. You know, so it's a problem. Anyway, that's number two. To internalize that Hashem knows your deepest thoughts, your subconscious motivations, your attitudes, why you do things. And if you really, really do have bitachon, you know, it doesn't matter that your neighbor thinks you have bitachon, or that your friend knows you have bitachon, or that your spouse knows, thinks you have bitachon, or that the rabbi thinks you have bitachon, or that you think I have bitachon. Hashem knows. That's what he says. And therefore you'll keep working. I'm fascinated by it. Like, so you'll keep working. You won't stop, and you won't rest on your laurels, and you won't feel smug and self-satisfied, and you won't say, I got it. You'll keep working, because you know Hashem knows my deeper thoughts. Number three. Okay, number three seems to be a side point, but it's essential to really, because this is like to be kona bitochon fully. Number three is that there's no one else that can help you. Not the doctor, not your friend, not protection, not your brains, nothing else. Everything else, everybody and everything is a shliach of Hashem. Hashem sends everything your way. Nothing operates independently, and this is very hard. I always bring this up, and it always causes great consternation, because I don't have a real good answer. And that's our insistence on always getting the best doctor. This is what people do. And Jewish frum organizations thrive on finding someone the best doctor. So it's, you know, sometimes, like, talking from the perspective of when I owned a car, sometimes you had to go to Tom. Mickey wasn't enough. You had to go to Tom all the way in Nanuet from Muncie. Not Nanuet, I'm sorry. The other way, suffering. You had to go to Suffern because Mickey and Bob, Mickey and the other guy, they were good, but you know, sometimes they're going to change the starter, and then they're going to change the choke, and then they're going to change the water pump, and just keeps killing. I'm personal experience, and you keep getting stuck on the highway, and you got to go to Bob in Suffern, master diagnostician.
Bob the Builder.
Bob. That was the name of the guy in Suffern. That was, when all else failed, you went to Bob. Very expensive. But anyway, sometimes you go to the best doctor because you need a good diagnosis, you know, and just second level won't do it. Or sometimes you're dealing with, like, let's say the blasts, like, they're dealing with so many things going on. Like, the liver has 500 functions in the body. And he didn't have a proper liver for like a year and a half. What was it? And so you need like the biggest bakiyim in the world. And Dr. Boyas told me that what's interesting is that what he's experiencing is that the bigger the baki, the more of an anav they are. The really big doctors are very humble, and they know what they don't know, and they're always consulting with other doctors. And you know, nowadays you can consult with doctors all over the world. I mean, you could have, make a conference call with the 5 top doctors in this Indian, you know, in the whole world, and everybody's sharing their knowledge. No one's keeping anything back, and everybody wants to learn. He says it's amazing. The higher you get, the more humble people are, and that's the way it is. The more you know, the more you know what you don't know. That's what they say about science. Anyway, so maybe there's nothing wrong with going to the best doctor if you need a very high level diagnosis, or you need a very high level treatment. You know, chemo, there's like 100 different cocktails of mixes they make with chemo. So you want someone that has a lot of experience. So there, at least, you can put it under the realm of normal histopathos. But you have to ask yourself, that's the difficulty of number three. do we see everything? We talk the talk. That's where number two kicks in. Yeah, the doctor is just a shliach of Hashem. Or maybe it's a country, and right, and they're going to America for this. Hashem took care of that already. No one has bitachon in America anymore, Baruch Hashem. But look what he had to do. If we would have done it on our own, then America would be Taki Israel's best friend and give them things. But since we didn't have bitachon, we as the collective, Klal Yisrael. So we had to do it this way. And now we don't have bitachon in America anymore. But that's number three. Number one is to internalize the seven things of Perek Aleph, of Perek Beis. Number two is to know that Hashem knows your deepest, innermost thoughts and motivations, so that you won't pay lip service to bitachon. He says that openly. That's the purpose. Number three is that the only source of reliance is Hashem. There is nothing else. And you catch yourself. You know, this is my proof. Anytime you tell a group of people that Hishtadlus is okay, they breathe a sigh of relief. And that's funny, because instead of breathing a sigh of relief, they should get upset and say, ach, now I have to do Hishtadlus. I could have just sat back and done nothing, because Hashem's going to provide for me anyway. But that's not people's reaction. When you tell people come over to me, hold on, can I do this? Is it within the realm of Hishtadlus? It's not a good question anyway, but I won't go into that now. I say, yeah, that you can do it. That's normal Hishtadlus. What's the sigh of relief? That they don't really rely on Hashem. They really think that they have to do something. So they're relieved that it's mutter to do something. But the reaction of Baal Bitachon should react and say, ach, I thought I could take it easy, and now I have to do something. Now I have to work. But that's number three. It's very, very hard. Very hard. You know, it comes up, I say doctors, but it's in life, you know, it's in life. I'm going to get into trouble now. People that I know what you're thinking, I don't care. People that place an inordinate amount of emphasis on health, I said inordinate. You know, they 1 minute after Shabbos, like Dolev's full of people jogging, and you get, and there's such a thing as going overboard there also. It becomes an Avodah Zarah. I know you have to be in shape. Okay, I know all that. Okay. And you have to be healthy. Okay, good. But it, in America, I know it became, because they don't believe in Hashem anymore. So like they're, it's bitachon atzmi. It's like, I'm gonna live to 100. These guys are always dying of heart attacks as they're jogging. I think a guy wrote a book, you can live till 100, you know, and he died when he was 56, when he was jogging. Somebody.
Jim Picks.
Yeah.
But his father died at
38. It's very. You have to be careful. You have to be careful to realize that you can only have... Now, Hashem has channels. That's what Hashem says channels. That's what he's going to say in number five. Hashem doesn't do things the way he did them in Sheish Yishimei Breishis. That's what the Bible says. He doesn't say, your mother, Kimi, Hior, Vayihior. I have to go to the store and buy a flashlight. And, you know, you have to do all these things. So it's not Vayoma Hashem, Yehi healthy, Vayehi healthy. It doesn't work that way anymore. That's where Hishtadlus comes in. But you can't forget the principle that there's nothing here. And we know we feel better if someone powerful calls us up and says, I'm going to help you. We shouldn't be feeling better. We should be saying to ourselves, oh, that's the shliach Hashem sent. Right? And if it wouldn't be this person, I would have a different shliach. Because if Hashem decides... I'm very proud of him. I'll boast about my son who lives in Flatbush. I have two sons that live in America. I'm not boasting about that, but no, that's where their lives took them. And one of them is, I call him my only normal child. He works for a living. Everybody else is struggling as a clay kodesh. He's my only normal child. He works. So he works. So he went to the bris. He just went to a bris. The person that got him his job, his present job. So I was talking to him, and I said, yeah. And he said, and I'm very proud of him. He said something like, you know, I'm like a tov to him, but Lamaise, if he wouldn't have found me this job, so Hashem would have found something else to send me the job. Like, you can't go overboard. Chavis actually says, when you thank someone, you have to keep in mind that they're only a shliach of Hashem, and you thank them because that's midos tovos, and that's, you have to, they did something good, they were the shliach of Hashem. Hashem doesn't just pick anybody to be the shliach. Sometimes he'll pick someone not worthy of it, but usually he picks like a good shliach, and so you say, thank you, you were a shliach Hashem, and I appreciate that. It means you're a good person, you were the shliach for good things. But you don't, that's the chanufa comes in, right? And the person that did something for you says, okay, now I want you to do this, you know, or even if it's your boss who hired you, and he wants you to do this, and it's not so honest, or it's not so tzniostik, or it's not so kosher, and then you become afraid to cross him or her. But that fear is only because you think they got you the job, right? If we would be powerfully into the understanding that Hashem got me the job, and Hashem has other ways of getting me jobs, and they pick this one, and it could be a different one. So then you won't have, when you face this nisayon, this is like when you face this nisayon, if you're focused on number three, you'll be able to withstand that Messiah. If you're focused on, you know, the boss wants you to do anything. He wants you to work very late on Friday. Not as, I don't know, maybe as a one-time deal, you know, you call up the rabbi, he gives you a heter, you know. Fine, you know. Heterim costs more than Isurim, by the way. But, I'm talking about, let's say, on a steady basis, he wants you to work very late on Friday. Nothing, I'm just kidding. Forget it. It was a bad joke, no one laughed. So you have an nisayon, but your nisayon is only because you think the source of your parnas is the boss, and the source of your job is the boss. If you really have been koneh hakdomo hashlishis, number three, which is only Hashem, and everybody else is a channel, or a shliach, or a tool, or a puppet, whatever word works for you, then you know, you'll be able to stand down this nisayon, to stand up to this nisayon. You'll be able to. That's why this hakdama is very important, because if you don't have, the hakdama is the prerequisite. Hakdama here means not introduction, but a prerequisite. There are five prerequisites to be kona bitachon. So the third prerequisite is to yiyachel eloka b'bitchono bo. Only Hashem, b'meshu chayev liftoach bo. Ah, what does he mean by b'meshu chayev liftoach bo? I thought you chayev liftoach by Hashem for everything, right? If you're following the text. So the answer is, he doesn't mean ruchnius. Because b'chira, there's no bitachon. B'chira is your area. So that's why he says b'meshu chayev liftoach bo, because you do make choices in ruchnius. We don't understand exactly how that works, maybe. Let's not go there. It's like Hashem shuts himself out of that. But yeah, apparently he does. And it's up to you to make those choices. Val yeshate zulo, so imo, don't partner him with someone else. No one's a partner with Hashem. Everyone's a tool, or a shliach, or a channel, or a puppet. The yiftach olav o alechad me'abruim. The yiftach b'tchona b'lokov. The yeshate zulo, so imo. Right? Partnering him with someone, so you're relying less on Hashem. And he tells the story of Asa. Asa was a tremendous tzaddik. He got rid of all the Avodah Zarah, Melech Yehuda. He got rid of all the Avodah Zarah from his father, and he had an nisayon, and he was somach al harofim. He was relying on the doctor. Now the lashon haposuk is v'gam b'chol yom lo dorish as Hashem ki barofim. Now, if you think he didn't daven Shemona Esrei, and he didn't say Rufeinu Hashem v'nei Rafei, and he didn't say Tillim, and he didn't say Amishaberach when he got an Aliyah, you'd be wrong. You could be sure that Asa did all of that stuff. But so there's a story there. And I'll tell you the story very quickly. Normally I spend a lot of time on the story. This time around I won't. This is what the Pasuk says. What is coming from? How does he know? Maybe Asa was like bad. And he just trusted the Rofin. So there was a Milchama. Asa had a couple of wars. So one war, there was an overwhelming army against him. And he davened to Hashem and he said, you know, Hashem, we're trusting you. We're relying on you. You got to help us. You got to save us. And he won the war. Then there was another war, decades later. And there, he did something that we would consider normal. He sent tribute, he sent money to somebody that they should break up their alliance with Yisrael. The Malchus was split already, he was Melech Yehuda. That he should split up his alliance with Yisrael, and he should become his ally. And he bought him off with money. Aram bought off with money. So, you know, maybe, depending on normal hishtablus, but the Navi goes to him, and the Navi yells at him. And the Navi says, what happened to your bitachon? First of all, if you really had bitachon, you wouldn't have done that, because Aram's, and you know, you can hear echoes of nowadays, Aram's going to come back to fight you another day. You think they became your friends, they didn't become your friends. So if you would have fought them and had bitachon, you would have won the war and destroyed Aram. And now Aram's going to come back in 5 years, and they're going to be your enemy, and they're going to attack you. You're going to have to contend with them. That's first of all. This is all in the Psukim. Not so befeirish, I'm interpreting the Psukim. Second of all, you gave away your Otros HaMelech, you gave away the treasury. You gave the keys to the treasury. You don't do that if you have bitachon. You stepped over the line. You obviously don't have bitachon. And, you know. And the Navi, so he did what you do, and he put the Navi in jail. He jailed the Navi. He didn't accept what he said. And then he, as a punishment, he got ill. I don't want to say anything, but his feet. He had trouble with his feet. And then it says this pasuk, "V'gam b'chol yolo dorish os Hashem tiyim berofin." So I see in that, I think the Chavis Halavah saw in the word v'gam, that he fell into the same trap as he did when he went to war. In other words, yeah, he daven and he bitachon, yeah, but we don't know, it's a subtlety. He stepped over the line, and and the Navi is like, he was the same mistake that he made by the Mulchama, he made the same mistake again. V'gam. That's what the v'gam is, in addition to the Mulchama, v'gam b'chol yolo doros ha Hashem ki im berofim. And then don't kid yourself, he for sure davened, and he said a Misha Beirach. But he was relying on the doctors. You know, v'nena shal zeh. This is very hard. Again, it's a subtlety. Many times it's a subtlety. And we know our own kishkes. We know how we feel when we get fired from a job. We're devastated. So if you're devastated because it means you weren't doing a good job, that's good. That's a good devastation. But if you're devastated because what's going to be with your parnosa, that you shouldn't be devastated. Hashem is still taking care of you the way he took care of you yesterday. So you're not devastated. You didn't lose your parnosa. Hashem was going to do what he was going to do. You know, what's going to happen is going to happen. It would have happened. Like, Hashem, Teretz says, we rely on the other things without, you know, we pay lip service to bitachon. It's all kashur. We pay lip service to bitachon. You can be devastated if you thought you were doing a good job. Do I have so little self-awareness that I think I'm doing great and my boss just fired me because I'm doing a lousy job? That's mutter. Because then you're going to re-examine your capabilities, and you're going to see, you're going to make sure to do a good job next time. But, and again, whether it's sickness or shidduchim or anything, social relationships, having a bad neighbor. By the way, your neighbor thinks that he has a bad neighbor. And Hashem sent everything, and Hashem, okay, so he says you can't be meshatef. Bitachon, a prerequisite of bitachon is the words only Hashem. Being miyached Hashem, you can only rely on Him. Not, you have no one else in the bullpen to come in. If Hashem fails, I'll try this. And Hashem's not in the bullpen. I'll go to my uncle to give me a loan, and if that doesn't work, I'll daven to Hashem. Now Hashem's in the bullpen, and no, and not someone else is in the bullpen. It's only Hashem. He's the only pitcher. Okay, we'll stop.